Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Believer City Church's Wednesday Night Rewinds, where we're going to take a second look at what was dealt with on Sunday morning at the church service. And really, the goal of this, what we're trying to accomplish, is that we would make the Bible real, that what we learn and what we talk about would actually apply to our lives, and that it would have the intended impact that God desires for us. On Sunday, we looked at a message that was called, It's Time to Grow Up and Build Something Real. And you can find the passage, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 15. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers, through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So when you take a look at the whole book of 1 Corinthians, you find that it's pretty full, of fairly stern and a very direct kind of correction. And the first half of chapter 3, what we're looking at tonight, is really no exception. On Sunday, we saw that the Apostle Paul is making it clear to the Christians that are in this church that they were not really the dynamic followers of Jesus that they might have liked to pretend that they were. Okay, they weren't as impressive as they were kind of putting on. At this point, many of them had been believers for about 5 years, and they should have been mature. They really should have been spiritually minded. They should have been concerned about the things of God. They should have been concerned about Jesus. They should have been concerned about the church and the people of God. And yet the reality is, when you read the book, you find that they were instead far more concerned with themselves. So therefore, when Paul is dealing with them, when he's writing to them, he has to deal with them at really the spiritual level that they were at, which frankly was immature. They were immature little Christians that seemed simply unwilling to grow up. Now, the problem was not that they did not know the truth. Okay, they had the truth. They had one of the greatest Bible teachers of truth that's ever existed, that's ever lived. So the problem wasn't really an intellectual problem. It wasn't in their head. It seems instead that the real issue was at the heart level. Okay, they knew, but they failed to obey. And what was the real issue? Well, they didn't want to. They didn't want to. And how often is that still the case, where we would like to excuse and justify our own disobedience? Right? We want to give good and acceptable reasons for why we fail to do what God would direct us to do. But the reality is, we need to be honest with ourselves. The problem for us today, just like back then in Corinth, is many times the same. We simply love the world and everything that the world has to offer more than we love God. And really, this is a scary thing to consider. It's something we don't want to admit. I explained on Sunday how God tells us over and over in the Bible, but perhaps most clearly in 1 John, that when this is the case, when we love the world and the things of the world and everything that the world has to offer, it's because we really don't know the love of God. In this passage in Corinthians, Paul accuses them of being carnal, of being really focused on the world, being focused on the flesh. Or as it says elsewhere in Scripture, being controlled by the flesh rather than by the Spirit of God. And again, the sad reality, the all too common reality is that churches are full of many people that could have really the same accusation given against them. Okay? Every one of us needs to be careful. Every one of us needs to examine our own life before we start pointing our fingers. It'd be easy to read the book of 1 Corinthians and see all of their problems and say, yeah, they really immature. They really did have some issues. Well, they did. But what about you? What about me? Okay, the question that you have to deal with tonight is, have you really, truly, and fully embraced the life that God has for you? And when you have you then become the person that he desires you to be? Have you grown up? Have you continued to change? Have you continued to allow him to teach you? Or have you, like so many others somewhere along the way, kind of allowed compromise to creep in? Right? You allowed compromise to keep in, and that has one way or another led to your spiritual growth, your spiritual maturity being stunted. It's really caused you to be less than what God desires, less than really what God intended and created you for. Okay, now don't misunderstand me on this. In no way am I implying any kind of perfection. Okay, nor am I expecting that you are going to someday kind of reach a plateau where you think, I have arrived. Finally, I am spiritually mature. Because the reality is we'll never be done. Right? We are sinners saved by the grace of God. And because of that, we'll have all kinds of imperfections, all kinds of issues that we will face along the way. Plenty of failures. But are you moving forward? Are you dealing with your sin? Are you still facing the same troubles, the same sins you did a decade ago? Are you finding the place in the body of Christ that he intends you to find? Have you figured out what it is he wants you to do? Because if you haven't, if you still have no clue what God has for you, if you still don't know where he has placed you, it might be time for you to grow up a little bit. It might be time for you to say no to yourself, say no to the things of the world, stop living so focused on the fleshly distractions and sinful things that might be consuming your mind, that might be consuming your time, that maybe has crept in. When you read the Bible, you find in 2 Timothy, Paul deals with this issue kind of repeatedly, but in 2 Timothy, Paul tells us that if you want to be a soldier of Christ, and that's what disciples desire to be, we want to be soldiers on mission, doing his work. If you want to be a soldier, it says you can't be entangled with the affairs of the world. You can't be so wrapped up in everything the world has to offer that you can't have the time to focus on what God has for you. Okay, and we're so easily ensnared, we're so easily consumed, we're so easily distracted. But the reality is we can't have it both ways. We can't have everything that the world has to offer and also enjoy the presence of God. You can't find all your joy in the world and expect to find joy in the Lord, because these things you will find that many times are incompatible. But oh, we try. And some of us, if we know the Bible a little bit, we try to play this game with God where we like to see just how much of the world we can enjoy. Okay, just how far in can we get and still not have a guilty conscience? You know, how can we get really into the world, embrace all that it has to offer, but keep just enough religion, just enough Christianity that we don't feel guilty? But here's the thing you need to know. That's not the Christianity of the Bible. Okay, that's just not what the Bible describes when it describes following Christ. Okay, it's not biblical Christianity. And also, a reminder, biblical Christianity is the only version, the only kind of Christianity that exists. Okay, that's the only kind of Christianity. It's a all-in type of mentality. It's a, I'm all in, there's nothing holding me back. Not, I'm just going to go a little bit in, because otherwise it would be too costly. You're going to have to say no to the world. And it's not that you might have to say no to the world. I promise you, you will have to. You might have to say no to a career. Okay, I don't know what God's plan is for you. I don't know what his future is for you, but you might have to say no to a job. There might be a house that you really like. It's the perfect house, the perfect price, and the perfect location. And yet, it doesn't fit in with what God wants for you. Maybe there's a relationship that you've been chasing, you've been pursuing, and God's just saying no. You got to say no to yourself. You're going to have to. Because growing up as a Christian is realizing that it's not all about your own plans. It's not all about your own desires. You're going to have to say no to a life of comfort. Remember, at one point, a man comes up to Jesus and wants to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what? I don't think this is going to work out, because foxes, they've got a place to rest. They've got holes in the ground. And birds, they've got nests. But I don't even have anywhere to rest my head. He says, no, it's not going to be comfortable. You don't get to pursue all of your own comfort. Okay, it's realizing it's not all about you and what makes you feel good, because there's something more important. And if you can never grow up, okay, if you refuse to grow up, you refuse to say no, just so you know, it's not just going to hurt you. I mean, this is bad for you. You're missing out on what God has. You're missing out on the life that he created for you to live. But if you're part of a church, it hurts the people around you as well. Right, we saw that in this passage. It begins, spiritual immaturity begins to cause problems. It starts with division and bitterness. You start to get upset when people don't live as you think they should, when they don't live like they think you're the center of the world. And then for one reason or another, you start to get angry, you start to say some stuff, you start to gossip, you cause division. That's what happened in Corinth. The worldly things that they pursued, their selfish thinking, the pride that they could not get over, made them spiritual infants. And that lack of maturity led to division. It led to a terrible witness to the world. It hurt them individually. It hurt the church. It hurt the mission of God. Okay, if a church is going to be strong, so if you're part of a church, I hope that you want your church to be strong. It will need to, it's an absolute necessity, need to be made up of people that are united, that are standing firm together, that are kingdom-focused and not self-focused. Okay, most of us, we're familiar with Matthew 6:33. Okay, Matthew 6:33 is the verse that tells us we are to put the kingdom of God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Most of us know that verse. But to really do it, that's another story. Because that's hard. That requires sacrifice. We don't like that. That requires saying no to what we want to seek. But I tell you what, ultimately, you know what it requires? To seek first the kingdom of God, it requires love. Okay, later on in Corinthians, Paul explains that he is compelled by the love of Christ. So his love for Jesus, his gratitude for the gospel, his desire to seek the presence of God in his life meant that as attractive as the world might look, as comfortable as embracing everything that his sinful desires might have to offer, he couldn't do it. He couldn't chase those things. You know why? Because for him, Jesus was better. He loved Jesus more than he desired any of that other stuff. And what that did is it led him to a life of service. When you read the life of Paul, he poured himself out for God. He worked hard. He worked long. He gave up his life And when he did it, he didn't have much concern for his own comfort. You can read the list of the terrible things that happened to him in his service for Christ. Okay? He left that behind. Now, I'm not trying to say that the Christian life is miserable. No, the Christian life is wonderful. It's great. There's a peace that the world does not know. But it's not a vacation. You don't just sit back and relax. You get to work. And Paul did it. And that's one of the major differences, and I said this on Sunday, one of the major differences from the children and adults is that children play and adults work. Okay, you grow up and you embrace hard work. Some people, they just can't. They just refuse. So you need to ask yourself, have you really made that transition? Have you gone from someone who's just looking to take, looking to be comfortable, looking to relax, to someone who's willing to give? Someone who's willing to serve. Someone who desires to work. And I'll tell you that this is a rare thing. This is a rare thing because a lot of people, they serve when they want to. And I'll tell you, that's not real service at all. They submit to God when it fits with their own plans. And again, that's not real submission at all. And be careful. Okay, I know some of you, you're busy for God. And what you would want to do now is you'd start listing all the work that you do. It's like, well, I do this, I serve, I go to church, I tithe, I read my Bible. Well, Paul says that we need to be careful about the work that we do. Okay, he says that we need to take heed of how we build in verse 10. So don't be too quick to list all the work that you do, because there's going to be a day that is coming where all the work that we do, all the service that we're involved with is going to be judged. Okay, there's a day where it's going to be examined. And what God's going to be looking for at this point is this service, is this work that you've been doing, the labor you've involved yourself with, is it real? Was it directed by God? Did you do what he told you to do, or did you just do what you thought was a good idea? Was it empowered by God? Were you dependent on his Holy Spirit, or did you just do it on your own? Okay, there's a lot of stuff that calls itself Christian ministry that was not God-directed, and it was not empowered by the Spirit of God, and therefore, it's worthless. Okay, Jesus says that apart from him, we can do nothing. You can do nothing without him. No matter how good it looks, it counts for nothing. And God looks at the inside. He wants to know, what was it motivated by? Okay, why did you do what you did? Was there a love for God, or was it something else that kept you going? And in this, Paul uses gold and silver to kind of describe the genuine work for God that's going to last. And he uses wood and hay to describe the activities in our life that ultimately will count for nothing. Okay, now the world is constantly pushing us to build with what God's going to call wood, hay, straw. Stuff that isn't going to matter in the end. Worldly success. You know, recognition from the people around us. Financial gain. Grades. Approval. Comfort. Whatever it is. And it looks solid now. It looks good. But it doesn't last in the end. Okay, and don't forget, that's what we're really concerned with here. Is what's going to last. What has real significance? We're talking about quality, not quantity. And just so you know, remember, God looks at the heart. He looks at your attitude. He looks at your motivations. So don't just be content with what's on the outside. Okay, you need to. You will answer to God, so we now need to look at why we do what we do and how are we using this life that God has given us. Okay, there's lots of people that are content to just busy their lives with things that in the end will not matter. They're busy, but busy on just stupid stuff. And what Paul's doing here in this picture is he's showing us a bigger vision. He's showing us something that really matters, because a life that's built on Jesus, that'll stand forever. That will stand forever. That has eternal significance. That will matter. So as we close here, some of you are going to be joining kind of small group community Bible discussions all around the surrounding communities here. If any of you are out there and you don't know what I'm talking about, or you've heard about them but you're not part of one, we would be glad to have you join one, and you can contact Believers City Church to find out where the nearest one is to you. But whether you're going to join one of those discussions, or if you're sitting there by yourself tonight, there's some questions that I would encourage you to consider. Okay, these questions matter because, again, we only have one life, and we do not want to waste it. So here's some questions. Number one, where am I still immature? Number two, what am I building my life on? And number three, will it last when I stand before Christ? Guys, my hope and my prayer for all of us, every single one of us, is that we would each grow into the person that God desires us to be. Okay, that we would keep growing and experience all that God has for us. But I know that it will not happen if we stop. Okay, so keep going. Thanks again, guys. It was great to be with you on Sunday, and I hope that we will see each other again soon.